Happy Easter. Thank you. It's good to see you all here today. Welcome, Jacob's Well. I'm Greg Meyer, pastor at Jacob's Well, and I want to share a couple of thoughts with you today. Like I like to say on days like this, you know, if you are just like a diehard Jacob's Weller and you're here every week, we're so glad you're here. If you are family and friends and are along this week and you're kind of wondering what this Jacob's Well thing's all about, well, you'll find out. If you maybe just someone you do Christmas and Easter, we're glad you're here. And if there are a lot of other places you'd rather be this morning, but maybe coming along was a path of least resistance, welcome. It's okay, you know. I mean, the fact is, we aren't here because we're all pretending that we all believe the same thing in the same way at the same time, because that just doesn't happen. That's not life. That's not how God works, okay? I mean, what this is really about is all of us like coming together and trying to wrap our heads around how God does new things in our world. Even if we don't understand that and see it the same way or use the same kind of language to talk about it, that doesn't really stop God from doing it. So that's some pretty amazing stuff. And it's really important that we do it together too, because there's something about when we start looking at how God is making life happen and we start trusting that a little bit, then that's where hope is born. And when we work together on these things that hope bears, then we start taking on these tasks that are difficult, these tasks that seem unlikely, sometimes the ones that we think are impossible, and guess what? They actually start happening. And that's pretty amazing. Paul, the early seeder of the hope that was Jesus, was writing to a group of people in a new community called Ephesus, and he said this. He said, "The power of God at work within us." Now, that's big. He didn't say the power of God. No, the power of God at work in our messy collective selves, all of us together, can accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. There's no lid on that box. And that's, you know, what Easter, that's what Jesus being alive is really, it's all about. It wasn't a sure thing, what this whole Jesus thing. It wasn't a sure bet. It wasn't a slam dunk. No, it was more like, you know, what Jesus is all about was more like a three-pointer shot at the buzzer when they were 2 points behind and was shot from way too far away. But it was shot out of desperation, but with a lot of hope and a fair amount of courage and confidence. And not courage and confidence because the shooter was so good, but because that is what needed to happen, and that is what he or she did at that moment. I mean, that's really kind of how it all works. You know what that's about. You've been there in some complicated part of your life. So we at Jacob's Well, we have been known to kind of have a little different take on it than maybe some other churches have. And it isn't because we have a different Bible or we have a different God or a different belief system or a different theology. No, it's not any of that. If there's anything different about us, it's because we have two questions that we just don't let go of. And the first question is just basically to rethink things. I mean, when we run into stuff about the world, about life, about God, about whatever it is, we say, does that make sense to our heads and to our hearts? And if it doesn't, we keep thinking. And the other thing we do along with this is that we had this strong conviction that God does not play games. Jesus was not an act. God doesn't want us to just do things because we're supposed to do things. God's God and we're not, and so we do what God says. It doesn't work like that. No, life is real, and faith isn't separate from life. Faith is life. That is where God meets us, right here. So, like in number one, if something feels like a game, we think about it till it makes sense to our heads and our hearts. And that's pretty important. So imagine, on this whole Easter business, right, that Jesus wasn't playing games. That the whole Good Friday, death on the cross, buried in a tomb, rising on Sunday morning wasn't a game. An awful but elaborate and necessary script. Imagine that in reality, it was about what God, and this is something that we believe very strongly, what God is always about. That whole thing, that whole Holy Week business was all an act of love. It was God doing what God always has done, whatever it meant, no matter the cost, because God actually loves us that much. God loves us because God loves us. Because God loves us. Because God loves us. That's just where it starts, and that's where it ends. And that's what drives the whole story. So Jesus being born as a peasant and, dying and rising again wasn't an elaborate cosmic equation that washes away sin through some magical process, but it was God's desperate and hopeful act of love for us, confident and courageous. Not because God knew, if I go through this, it's going to work, but because God had long ago, whatever that means for God, understood that love, not power, not gold, not fame, or any of a million other things, other options that pop into our heads of the things that are really important in this world, God realized that love was the most valuable substance in our universe. So, when Jesus started heading towards Jerusalem, and when he rode in on what we call Palm Sunday into the cheering crowds, and then when he's having this last meal with his disciples that has turned into something that we call communion now, and then when he goes to the garden to pray, and then when he's arrested and carrying his cross to Golgotha, and then he actually hangs there dying on it, I can't imagine that Jesus didn't say, or at least was thinking, this might not work. Okay, so I have to admit it. Nowhere in the Gospels does it have Jesus saying, this might not work. But to me, the Bible just screams that message. This might not work. There are times for even God when the most important things cannot be achieved by power. There are times when the only path to do what is most important to you can be done through vulnerability. God discovered the exact same thing. Doing what you need to do, even though the outcome is not guaranteed, because it is the right thing to do. That is love. It's kind of like that scene from A Knight's Tale. You don't need to know much about that movie to get it. You just know that Heath Ledger, right? He is the knight, the champion knight who takes on all jousting oncomers, okay? And he wants to use that prestige and his strength as, the champion knight anywhere to win the love of his lover. Let's take a look at that.
Jocelyn, how may I prove my love to you? How?
Do you ask in earnest?
Yes.
If you would prove your love.
Right.
You should do your worst.
My worst? What do you mean?
Instead of winning to honor me with your high reputation, I want you to act against your normal character and do badly.
Do badly?
Lose.
No, losing proves nothing, except that I'm a loser.
Wrong. Losing is a much keener test of your love. Losing would contradict your self-love, and losing would show your obedience to your lover and not to yourself.
Really? Shh, woman.
Do not shh me and spare him. Now be gone. Go! What is your answer?
I will not lose.
Then you do not love me.
Ledger. His name, William Thatcher. In the movie. In my take on this, at least on this scene, he's God. He's taking the role of God. God who tried to shock and awe us into a relationship, and it kind of worked. I mean, a relationship was formed, but somehow it wouldn't come all the way. And Jocelyn, she may seem to be a little bit manipulative of him proving his love, but she isn't any one person daring God. She is our collective voice. She is the cry of humanity that says we need to be loved in a way that we could never doubt it. We need to be loved not as a toy or as a trophy, but in a way that is so wholehearted that you would put nothing before us, not even your own life. And that shushing priest that comes in, that's the cowardice of humanity, isn't it? That says, we don't want the status quo upset. Don't start asking these questions or upsetting things with stuff that is messy and too real and gutsy and scary. Can't we just leave well enough alone with God? But no. The cry of humanity, our need for the need to be truly loved for who we are with no exception and no condition, was too deep. And so God did what seemed was so unnecessary and might not work, and it risked so much. And God did it desperately, but full of hope and with courage and with a fair amount of confidence. Kind of like this.
Oh, his horse's flanks. Maybe where he comes from, it means love.
Losing.
I don't understand.
Oh, neither do I.
He loves me.
You can go home and watch the rest of the movie. The Bible is just a series of this might not work, but I'm going to do it anyway stories. And that basically is giving us a hint of what our lives are called to be about as well, if we would dare to be as real as God was willing to be in Jesus. You see, God, at least in Jesus, lived in faith. Just like we have to live by faith. That living by faith doesn't mean we're supposed to believe some things that are illogical, that don't make sense, that are ridiculous or impossible. It means that we do what we know we need to do, even when it might not work. You know, in our businesses and in our finances, and I think in our science and medicine and technology, we are rightly conformed to outcomes, making sure things actually work. But in most other areas of life, we are called to live by faith. Doing what we know we must do, whether it works every time or not. And we do it because in our hearts, we hope. And we know that what our hearts tell us is the most important thing about our lives. And we also sort of know that our predicted outcomes of how we want things to really happen, those aren't the way it usually works anyway. Life is too complicated for that. Life is too beautiful for that. Life is too, thankfully, out of control for that. And you know what else? There is something powerful when we all live that way, when we do that together. There is something that works when we are desperately, hopefully, confident, and courageously doing what we know to be true in our hearts, even though it might not work. That, in fact, is our empty tomb. That is the evidence that Jesus lives that we actually need. Not an ancient story that sometimes we have a hard time wrapping our heads around. Not the insistence of someone else that, yes, Jesus is alive, he did rise from the dead. But it is the evidence that when we believe, when we trust this hope that God has filled our hearts with, and we do things that might not work, somehow we feel fulfilled. Somehow we know we are making the world what it's supposed to be, and we are the people we're supposed to be, even though it didn't work. Because it was doing the right thing for the right reason. The one that God lights up our heart and our imagination with, that's really important. And we do kind of what those first two stories we heard said, that we make sad things become untrue. So, you've got two or three colored pieces of paper, right? Nod. Yeah, okay, you know where they are. If there's extras, I think, I don't know, this is like kind of crazy this morning. I've got two things that I want you to do with them. Yeah, you can pull them out. That's okay. Number one, you should have also gotten a pen when you came in. If you didn't, bum one from someone, okay? And what I'd like you to do is to take a risk. I'd like you to be a little bit vulnerable. I'd like you, to try something, to be a little hopeful on this piece of paper. What I'd like you to do is to write on your piece of paper something that you would do if you knew it was actually going to work. Something that you would do differently than what you're normally doing, what you're doing right now, if you knew it was really going to work. Like, quit your job and go back to school. Or tell that person that you love them. Maybe learn to surf. Or plant a garden. Plant a tree. Lose weight. Run a marathon. Tutor kids who don't get support at home. Maybe stop being or perpetuating that argument that you just won't let die. Maybe it's deciding that you don't have to be right once. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Maybe it's trusting someone. Maybe it's telling someone that you are afraid of, that you're not going to take it from them anymore. Maybe it's protesting something or starting a petition or starting a business or doing something no one else has ever done. Or maybe it's even just like going home from work early. I mean, the list is endless, and it's not my list, it's yours. Those are just some things that pop in my head when I think about things that I would do differently if I knew they were going to work. Now, the truth is you don't know if it's going to work. But if you somehow could, what would you do? Maybe that's what you're supposed to do. So write one or two or three of those on your piece of paper, okay? And then what you're going to do is, anybody notice this big pink wall here? Talk about things that might not work. That's it. I want you to take your piece of paper and I want you to stick it to the wall. You maybe can see there's all kinds of little dots. Those are sticky dots. And so your pieces of paper are going to stick on there. And although when you get close, you're going to see there's some lines drawn on there and it's kind of color by letter. So you've got six different kinds of paper. You've got white, or shades of yellow, and then there are shades of orange. And then there's blues. There's light blues, medium blues, and dark blues. And you say, how do I know if mine's medium blue or dark blue? Here's the idea. If you can't tell if it's dark or medium, do you think it matters? No. All right? Okay, good. So first of all, remembering that this might not work, we're going to do this. There's, I don't know, like 350, 400 people here. I think there's like 500-600 pieces of paper. The idea is you're probably going to have to tear them, all right? Tear them really, really carefully. No, just tear them, plop them up there. They can overlap. Just try to cover up all the pink and stay within the lines. You'll see it. If you need more sticky dots because you need to put a piece of paper someplace where there's not a sticky dot, Heidi over there, she's our sticky dot lady. She can help you out with that. She'll always be kind of going around. And what am I not telling you about that? This is going to be chaos, all right? And it might not work. We may not be able to finish it now. But yeah, we'll finish it in the next couple weeks. So, I'll be around. I'll try to help you if you have questions about it too. So, while that's going on, because you can't all do that at once, we're also having communion. Speaking of things that might not work, all right? And how you know, for us, communion was, Jesus said, I need to let you know what my life is about, and I need to share this with you. I want you to be at my table. This is my family table. We're going to share this, and I want you to, whenever you eat and drink, I want you to know that I am with you, and my love is pouring out through this. So there's going to be people at these to help you, but basically, there's grape juice. Jesus said, there's wine. Sorry, red, white, grape juice. Jesus said, drink this. This is to let you know that there's nothing that you could ever do that would separate you from me or from God or from the world. Do this. And then there's bread as well. And bread that was actually made by our river rats, our 4th through 6th graders, who have been kind of talking about communion and God's table these last weeks. So you can break off pieces and share those with each other. And invite you when you do that just to give up, you know, get uncomfortable. All right? We got time. Well, we don't have too much time. Well, we'll call an end to this before noon. And so just have that, share with them, someone else. If you can say the bread and wine of God to someone else, or alternatively you can say here. That works too. God knows. So this might not work. But let's try it, okay? There's three things that we wanted to capture with this. We wanted to do something that might not work. We wanted to do something that took all of us to do together. And we wanted to do something that reminded us of the fact that God doesn't want us to have no control. God wants to let us loose and see what we can do together. So let's go. Go do it, and God be with us in this process.